Well, Sunday, we were sharing some thoughts about our dominion through words, and we began what I say back at the beginning. We began back in the book of Genesis, and we began to talk and show in the scriptures that we were what? Made in the image and likeness of God, and God had a purpose in that he created man to do what? Have dominion. He said, have subdue the earth and to have dominion. So he gave man dominion what? Over his world, over his earth. And of course, we know that Adam was deceived, and the woman was not, but Adam was deceived, and he had the dominion at that point to kick, as I say, kick that joker off and out of his garden. But he didn't, and he disobeyed God, and God gave him a command. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, but every other tree you can partake. Well, he didn't obey that. But God knew that. He knew man would miss it, and he put in place and put into motion a plan to redeem mankind. And we know the scripture says that Jesus is referred to as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So we know before even man missed it, God knew it, and he put into motion a plan that would send the Lamb of God to the earth to do what? Redeem mankind and to give back or bring back to man that dominion here in the earth. And we so thank God for sending Jesus. In Romans 8, chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And so we're so grateful for the Lord Jesus, for coming, obeying God, and fulfilling that redemptive purpose. And we're so grateful for his shed blood, and that blood has redeemed us. As Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Thank God. So isn't it wonderful to be a new creature in Christ, that the scripture says that Jesus is the mediator between God and man? So because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of what he did, I can approach a holy God. And no, we know in 2 Corinthians 5:17, in the King James, it says, now therefore, if any man be what? In Christ. Any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what is this saying? If I am in Christ, I'm a brand new person. I'm a brand new creature, a new kind of being. And it says what? Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. So this new person has happened in me. Now, I like these other scriptures. I love these three scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells me who I've become in Christ. And of course, I like also in verse 20:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, another significant, it says, for he hath made him to what? To be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when I accepted him as Savior and I became a new person in Christ, I became what? Right with him. I became the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. You can't get any better than that. You can't get any more righteous. You are the righteousness of who? Of God in Christ. Hallelujah. And so because of that, I like this other scripture in Romans chapter 5 in verse 17. It talks about reigning in life by one Christ Jesus. But it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," this is what happened through the fall of Adam. "Say much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life by one Jesus Christ." So this restoration, or we could say this righteousness, has placed us in a place of dominion again. This is what we were sharing on Sunday, that it has put us in a place of dominion. How? To reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So now I can reign in life. Now, we have a new identity. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it talks about this new identity that I have. It says, "I am crucified with" who? "With Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but" who? "But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Hallelujah. So this life now that I'm living, I'm a brand new person, a brand new creature in Christ, a brand new type of being. How is that? God has come and taken up residence in me through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God in Christ. God has taken up residence in me. It is no longer I that liveth. So as they say, what are all these problems that we're facing? Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we can rejoice. We can, that's what James says. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we can rejoice and go through these issues if we keep what? The right frame of heart and mind. And we need to do what? Keep our minds right. Keep our minds focused on thinking on those things which are pure and just and easy to be entreated, it says. So one of the things I wanted to look at tonight, and we're just sharing some thoughts here, but we want to talk about seed time and harvest. So this new person that we have become is a new person in Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So let's take a look at how did God create things? Well, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Now, I like the Amplified translation because it amplifies it, but it kind of expands this a little bit. And it says in the Amplified, "He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. And he is the perfect imprint," hallelujah, "and the very image of God's nature." Now, who's living in us? If he's the very image of God's nature, what do we say? "It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me." So his very nature, his very image is imprinted, has taken up residence in me. And what does it continue? It says, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Hebrews 11:3. This continues the same thought about how things came into being here in this earth. Hebrews 11:3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Hallelujah. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hallelujah. And I like this again in the Amplified. Same scripture verse, Hebrews 11:3. But in the Amplified, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. How? By the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. So what God spoke into existence, what God spoke, it came into existence. It's upheld and it's maintained by his word. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting to know. So let's take a look at when we talk about things coming into existence, being maintained and upheld by the word of God, let's take a look at a principle in the book of Genesis when we talk about seed time and harvest. Let's take a look at this principle in the book of Genesis in chapter 8 and verse 22, because remember, God spoke things into existence and he spoke things that are seen are not made by things which do appear. So it's the unseen that created the seen. So let's take a look, and this says here in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So we like to call this the law of Genesis. So what does that mean? Everything, you could say everything in the law of Genesis produces after its kind, and the seed is in itself. It's not an interesting thought. The seed is in the seed, and we'll explain later. The seed or the potential for a harvest is in the seed. So you could say the seed is in itself. So the kingdom of God, which was spoken, the kingdom of God operates on the principle of sowing and reaping. Let's use an example. The seed of strife is in strife itself. If you get into strife with someone, it will produce more strife. The seed of strife is in strife. You plant strife, it will produce strife. And so the seed of strife is in strife itself. If you give love, then you can reap love. Love is in the seed that's planted, the seed of love. So the kingdom of God works this way. It is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So let's take a look at what Jesus said in Mark 4 and verse 26. Mark 4 and verse 26, and Jesus here is speaking to his disciples, And here he's speaking. He said, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Let me just get over here for a second. I want to look at this in context and not just this particular scripture pulled out, but I want to look at this in context here. And he said, and again, let me go back here. It said, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should what? Cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise, how? Night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth, I want you to keep, we're going to highlight this here. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the year. Verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, when we talk about the earth, it says here, what does it say? The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. So when we talk about the earth, we're talking about the ground. Well, what is the ground? In that same chapter in verse 4, if you back up to verse 15, and it talks about the sower soweth the word, that whole parable in talking about the sower sowing the word, it talks about sowing seed into what? Ground. It talks about four different types of ground. It talks about, what does it talk about here? It says the wayside, then it talks about stony ground, then it talks about ground with thorns and thistles, then it talks about good ground. But then Jesus, his disciples said, well, explain that to us. And then he went on to explain what that meant. And so he began to show that the earth, the ground, is the heart. So when we talk about here, back in Mark 4:28, when it says, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that, the full corn in the ear. This is a what? A process. First, the seed has to get planted, then the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, then what? Then the harvest. So we can see here, where does that come from? Where is the seed planted? In the heart, in our heart. So when we talk about this whole subject of heart and mouth connection, the heart has to have seed planted in it. What is that? The word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can see in this scripture that we're talking about here, about the earth bringing forth fruit, sometimes we give up before the harvest. Because here, it says here, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade. Sometimes we're tearing it up when it's in the stage of the blade. And we haven't given it a time to develop where it grows up. Then it has an ear, and then a what? A full corn of ear. So this here shows us that there is a process to the seed being planted. And so don't give up on the process. That's really what we're saying. Plant the seed. Water it. Nurture it. You know, do you realize something? I'm not a farmer, but I grew up, my father had a degree from Cornell University. This is years ago. He was a horticulturist, and I was around it as a kid. I didn't understand all of it. But I was around seeds, I was around graftings, I was around all of these plantings, and he understood the science behind it, I didn't. And so now that I see this a little more clearly, I begin to reflect on some of the things I enjoyed the fruit of my father's labor. When he did all of these things, I enjoyed the beauty of it, but I didn't understand the process. And so here what we're saying is, just like a farmer, just because you plant seed doesn't necessarily mean you get a harvest. Yet, planting the seed is part of the process. So just because we plant the seed of the Word of God into our hearts doesn't necessarily mean you will get a harvest. But it is necessary to get a harvest. You understand the point. So this here, if you look at, let's look at Mark 11:23, and Mark 11:23 is very similar. That when we talk about speaking, we talk about confessing, we talk about planting seed in our hearts and believing something and saying it, there is a process. So just because you speak something doesn't necessarily mean it'll come to pass, yet speaking is part of the process. So here, when we look at Mark 11:23, and Jesus is talking about faith, what did he say in verse 23? He said, "For verily I say unto you," he's talking to Peter here now, he said that whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but what? But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There's a process. It didn't just say, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain shall have whatsoever he saith." Oh no, from the beginning of that verse to the end of that verse, there's a process in there. What did it say? What's the process? It says you have to speak to the mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea." Oh, and then you have to not doubt in your heart, but what? Believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you saith. So if you say something because of something you believe, "Oh yes, I believe God will meet all of my need," but then you don't believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you won't have the harvest. So don't give up, don't disconnect, or don't quit before you see the harvest. Because what does it say? God's word is the word of his power. His word is full of life. It will produce. That's Isaiah 55. And God said, he watches over his word to perform it. It will not return unto him void. So we know that if we stick with the word of God and we don't become disconnected, or we don't abort the process, as you could say, and we stick with what we believe and we say what we believe, we will have it. And this is the point. When a farmer plants the seed, he can't see. In other words, when you think about this, what farmer would go out and invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in harvesting equipment if he didn't believe he was going to get a harvest? He has faith in the seed that it will do exactly what it says, or he believes it will do. Same thing with God's word. God's word is seed. It's 1 Peter. What is 1 Peter 1:23? It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible," or it's a seed, "by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So God's word is incorruptible. And if I plant that into this newly recreated spirit, which is born again, it's what? Not corruptible, this spirit. This is good ground. And if I plant it and I tend to it and I nurture it, just think about this. A farmer just because a farmer plants a seed doesn't guarantee he'll get a harvest. What does he have to do? He has to tend to it. He's got to keep what? The thorns and thistles, and he has to keep the weeds out of it from choking his seeds. No different with us when we read the parable of the sower. So the seed that is planted in our hearts, we have to do what? We have to tend to it. We have to water it. We have to cast down those thoughts that would do what? Exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So we will have what we say if we do what? We abide by, or we see through the process until we see the harvest. So here, John, Jesus spoke these words. And since we've been making this point, that since we're made in the image and likeness of God, think about this. I just had this thought. Right at the very beginning of Genesis, what did Jesus do? What did God do when he was confronted with darkness? He didn't say, "Oh my God, look at the darkness, what are we going to do?" That was a problem. How did he address the problem? He spoke, "Light be." He spoke what he desired. And so it's the same thing with us. We're to do what? Follow his example. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life." So God's word is spirit, it is life. And so when we speak, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, and the words that he speaks are spirit and life, then that means that the words that I speak are spirit. And here's the qualification. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, it says death in 20:21-22, death and life are in what? The power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we can either speak death-filled words or life-filled words, and it's in the power of our tongue. So what it means is that when we speak words, these words can either create life or death in our life. And so our words create. This is the point we're trying to make, that the words that we speak are seeds. They're like seeds, and they can be planted. And if you keep watering them and you keep feeding them with bad thoughts and bad words, that you're going to produce a harvest. But thank God, that's why Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 2. He said that, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and what? Perfect will of God." So God wants us to renew our minds, and that these seeds, his word, it has the power. Think about this. The power of God is in the seed, the word. And so the word has the power in it to transform our thinking, to make us think differently. It has the power, not in ourselves, but the power of the word of God has the ability to change our thinking. So when we get to begin to change our thinking and we line that up with our heart, the things that we believe, we will have a supernatural harvest of life. This is what Jesus began to speak in John 10:10. John said, in this gospel here, Jesus speaking said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So here, God's word has the ability within it to cause us to live an abundant life. Every need, this is what I believe 2 Peter, let me just turn over there, 2 Peter chapter 1, I believe, and verse 3, let me just turn over there, I believe it does. Yeah, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that what? Pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So that means the word of God has the power within it to supply everything we need. Hallelujah. So the life is in God's word. It's in the seed. So one of the things, you know, you hear this saying sometimes the world, these are just things the world says. They're blinded, so they don't know, but people say, I just tell it like it is. Well, God's word doesn't say tell it like it is. The word of God, what's the method? God said, speak my word. In other words, we're to do what? Speak his word. His word has the life of God within it. And so this is what we were saying before. God saw darkness and addressed that in Genesis 1:3. He spoke what? The thing desired. He spoke light be. He said, let there be light. So when you see lack or problems in your life, don't speak the problem. Speak life. Speak abundance. Speak peace. Speak the desired end result. This is what we're talking about with seed time and harvest. You're not going to see a harvest of peace, a harvest of abundance, until you do what? Speak or plant the seed. But just because you speak it, this is where people get tripped up. Just because you speak abundance, just because you speak peace, just because you speak healing into your body, and you don't see it, you don't see the harvest or the manifestation, don't give up. There's a process, just like what Jesus said. There's a process in speaking to the mountain, then doing what? Believing and doubting not, and believing the things that you speak shall come to pass, you're going to have a harvest. You'll have a manifestation. So just because a farmer, or let's say it another way, a farmer doesn't have, I'll go back to this example, a farmer doesn't have a harvest just because he plants the seed. You must take care of that seed planted. Therefore, you don't have a harvest just because you say it or plant the seed. Saying is involved, but you must take care of the seed planted. What are we saying with that? It has to be watered. It has to be nurtured. When thoughts come of doubt and unbelief and fear, what are we supposed to do? Allow that into our heart? No, we're supposed to cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when these thoughts come, protect the seed that's been planted. See the harvest. See it to fruition. Water the seed. Protect it. This is what we've been talking about in past lessons. When Proverbs 4, it says, guard your heart so that out of it come the issues of life, the boundaries, the things that will produce the harvest. Where are they coming out of? Out of your heart. Now, this is something here. Remember, this is what the law of Genesis is. It'll produce after its own kind. So Luke chapter 17 and verse 5 and 6, look what Jesus is speaking. Let me just turn there. Look what Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. And what do the disciples, the disciples here are saying to the Lord, increase our faith. And what was Jesus' response to that? It's an interesting response. And the Lord, in verse 6, said, and the Lord said, if you had faith as what? A grain of mustard seed, you might what? Say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and what? It should obey who? You. So the seed is in itself. The potential harvest is in the seed, and the harvest, again, produces more seeds. No harvest without what? Planting the seed. So you can see from this scripture, Jesus is saying here that in order for you to address a problem, your faith has to be released in words that you speak. So here he's saying, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree. So obviously it was in their way. It was an obstacle. Jesus said, you're going to have to speak to it. Your faith is released in your words. This is the process. You plant things by what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One thing, yes, we receive faith from hearing messages being taught. But one sure way that we can plant seed into our heart is by speaking it. So your heart will respond to you speaking. This is why when the scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. When you think and you begin to speak, it begins to direct your steps. And that's why in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart. Because if you don't guard it and you let things down into your heart and you begin to speak them, it'll begin to direct the steps of your life. So what are we saying here? And we're going to spend a little more time on this when we come back on the air again. But this is an area that for me has been key in just success in every area of our life. In other words, when you're faced with an obstacle and it looks like it won't change, you've got to just be determined that God's word has the power within it to change it. You are absolutely convinced that if I take this word and I speak to it and I command it to be removed and cast into the sea, and I do what? I believe and doubt not and believe the things that I'm saying and doubt not and believe the things that I'm saying. What does it say? It'll come to pass. You've got to begin to start on something small and begin to operate this principle, because I can tell you that once you learn these principles, it'll work whether you start with something small and then you do what? You grow into where you can then face a much larger obstacle. And this is where people fail sometimes, is that they get faced with a life-threatening type of situation, whether it's family, whether it's health, whether it's finances. And what happens? Their heart and their words become disconnected. They may believe that God can fix this, but then their words get disconnected. They may start and speak to the problem, but then they look at it and go, oh God, this is just too big. I don't know what we're going to do. And their words begin to trip them up. They become disconnected. So it's not that their faith won't work. It's that their words become disconnected from their heart. And then there's where the disconnect, they tear up the harvest. So the seed got planted. Faith came. The seed got planted. But then their words begin to tear up the seed. So this is why what we're trying to get across here tonight is that this heart and mouth connection, there's a process involved. This is what Jesus was saying here over in Mark chapter 4 and verse 28. He said, he talked about the kingdom of God and that it was like a seed being cast into the ground. In verse 28, when he said, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." What's the earth? The heart. Our heart bringeth forth fruit. And so what does it say? First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear, and so forth and so on. In verse 29. So I would encourage us, start where you are, work at this every day. You begin to confess those things that you desire and you stick with it. Now, if God gives you some correction along that and says, "No, I want you to go this way and do that," follow the directions of the Holy Ghost. But learn this principle of seed time and harvest where the heart and the mouth work together. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, there's so much we could share on this, and we have a limited time. But when we get together again, we're going to continue and pick up on this, possibly where seed time and harvest is concerned, because I'm convinced if we work these principles, there is no obstacle that you face in life that you will not overcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't care what it is. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us insight, and we thank you that for some this is watering. Even for myself, as we teach, we're watering that which has been planted and watered through the years and begin to see insight into areas of the Word of God in the ways that I see it, but others where they're seeing these principles, that they would pick up and begin to work these principles of seed time and harvest and watering and nurturing the seed and watch what they're saying. And they would begin to work these principles and they would be mighty men and women of God, prosperous in every area, successful in every area of their life. Because this is what Joshua 1:8 said, "Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night. Observe to do it, and you'll make your way prosperous." So, Father, we thank you that we're making our ways prosperous in every area of life, and some translations say the affairs of life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, just before we move on, I'd like to extend an opportunity because, again, this, if you've listened to this teaching on seed time and harvest, salvation is seed time and harvest. You plant the seed of the Word of God, faith comes, and when faith comes, I act upon it, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and I believe that he was raised from the dead, and when I confess that, I am saved. That's seed time and harvest. So I would extend that opportunity to those that are listening and watching, and if you've already accepted Christ, that's fine. That's I rejoice with you, but let's all make that profession of faith. And let's say this, Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And according to the scriptures, the word of God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. I believe that in my heart, and I confess that with my mouth. And I now ask you to cleanse me make something new of me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I, by faith, believe that I'm saved. Now, if you've made that profession of faith, let us hear from you. You can get in contact with the ministry. You could email us at rlcc@redeeminglovecc.org. You can write us by mail, and you can see the address there. It's RLCC at 145 West Route 59, Nanuet, New York, 10954. Or you can call the ministry and just let us know, I became a new person in Christ. I asked Jesus into my heart, and we'll send you out. If you'd like some free material, let us know where we can send that to. And you can also, you can leave it by phone, area code 845-623-9300. Praise God. Glory to God.